This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Lord, may the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, that we may go forth from this place and take care of ourselves and this hurting world. Amen. Please be seated. Bishop Robin Eames is the former Archbishop of Ireland, and he was crucial in peacemaking between Northern and Southern Ireland, and is an amazing person on our planet. I had the opportunity of hearing him speak at a three-day conference, and at the beginning of the conference, there was a big banner that was hung behind him, and it showed two priests walking down the road, and they were fighting with one another. You could tell their clenched fists, and they were deep in some kind of a big debate. And they didn't notice that on the side of the road was a young man who had been injured. They never even saw him, and they kept walking. Deep in our hearts, we all know that those priests should have noticed that young man, should have done something, at least called 911, something. We all know that. And deep in our hearts, we know too that we are to live our lives in the way in which this gospel just instructed us. This was Jesus' final instruction to his disciples, and it came with teeth. It came with teeth. So urgent was this message. I'm sure we all agreed that everything we declared that we should do, and many of you are already doing it in this parish. Father Marty took a long time in 9:30 service and went through all of the ways we are feeding the sick, giving drink to the thirsty, welcoming the stranger, clothing those who are naked, taking care of our sisters and brothers. We all know this is crucial to do. This message, however, comes with a few zingers that it's very easy to gloss over and ignore. The first one is Jesus said, not only are we to care for those in need, but we are to realize that when we do, we are caring for Jesus Christ himself. So this is really difficult for us to understand. How is that? It doesn't say it's just like it's Jesus Christ. It says it is Jesus Christ himself. My sisters and brothers, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, it was the ultimate act of love, of God coming to earth to be one of us, to share in our very lives and in a suffering beyond measure. And then that resurrection, and something happened. Something changed in our very cell structure on this planet. Something amazing. He taught his disciples, and he teaches us that when we don't care for those in need, we are ignoring Christ himself, God himself. And we are to see Christ in one another. And I'm sure you have felt those moments when you have connected with another human being in that way. He wants us to recognize one another as the face of Christ, and especially those in need, and reach out. The other zinger in this gospel that is usually glossed over is that Jesus is saying, if we don't do these things, we'll live in eternal punishment. Hellfire. Hellfire and damnation is not something Episcopalians really talk about too much. And that's a good thing. However, I'd like to just take a moment to take a look at that. It's so easy to gloss over this harsh threat that we hear, and other threats that we hear in stories throughout the Bible, over and over, strong words of consequences about how we're supposed to live our lives. There's a story of five foolish wedding attendants who don't prepare for the groom in time, and Jesus says, "Away from me, I don't know you." Doesn't sound like something Jesus would do. Don't use the talents God gives you, like we heard last week. And what happens? Eternal darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Wheat will be separated from the weeds, and the weeds will be tied in bundles and burned. And burned. And in today's gospel, Jesus tells us that on Judgment Day, if we haven't cared for the needy, we'll be like goats separated out from the sheep and go into eternal fire, eternal punishment, while those that do live with real compassion will have eternal life. If we ignore this and we only talk about the most important things about helping one another, then we will leave this place thinking that our salvation is something that we earn by doing good. That grace is something we do by achieving something. And my brothers and sisters, that is not the gospel. I want to emphasize two vitally important attributes of Jesus, the man. First of all, he was a rabbi. Rabbis taught by telling parables and telling stories. And they did so with emphasis. And they used examples like sheep and goats and vineyards in a way that people could understand, in a way that people could relate to, so that then it would mean something to them. He also was a Middle Easterner. And in the Middle East back then and today, idioms were used that we do not understand in our culture, and also hyperbole, holy hype sometimes people call it. And it's not to be taken lightly. An idiom is a peculiar language or phrase in a culture, as many of you know. So, for instance, in our culture, if you said that somebody was in hot water, if I looked at you and said, "You are really in hot water," you all know what that means, right? She's in trouble. It doesn't mean she's actually sitting in a pot of hot water, right? That's an idiom. In the Middle East, eternal fire is an idiom. Gehenna was a city outside, or an area outside of Jerusalem, where they burned garbage. And because of the way the wind comes across, it was constantly on fire. And it was used as an idiom for things that you do not want in your life, and ways in which you do not want to be in your life. Hyperbole, this use of exaggeration in strong degrees, well beyond the literal, and some call it, as I said, holy hyperbole, is used to get our attention, and it does. We are not to ignore. I'd like to also point out hyperbole examples in Scripture, and I'm sure you would agree that when Jesus says, if you don't like something your eye is doing, cut it out. If you don't like what your right arm has done, cut it off. He doesn't mean that we're supposed to really do that. Hyperbole. Hurt children, you better tie a millstone around your neck and be thrown into the sea. Another idiom. Everlasting torment, everlasting punishment was a common Aramaic idiom. To understand the gospel completely, we can't just take a few verses. We have to understand the entire context of the gospel. And overwhelmingly, the gospel is about love, not about punishment. We as Christians are in dire need of healing our image of God from a finger-pointing disciplinarian to a strong, firm, clear, loving creator. And yes, with consequences for behavior that is not loving. There's a gifted evangelist and preacher by the name of Rob Bell, and I brought his book. Anything he writes, any of his videos, I can recommend highly. He is an evangelist who's taken a lot of flack from right wing because of the profound teaching. And I'd like to just read to you the back flap, the back cover. He says, God loves us. God offers us everlasting life by grace, freely, through no merit on our part. Unless you don't respond the right way, then God will torture you forever in hell. Huh? Huh? It makes sense. And we have this in our culture as just this underlying message that we hear, that somehow you're either in or you're out, you're good or you're bad. If you do right, you'll go to heaven. If you don't, you'll go to hell. It's not that simple. A wise man once told me that hell is It's a place lovingly provided by God if we choose to go there. Karl Rahner says hell exists, but we aren't sure if anybody's there. And we talk about in our Apostles' Creed when we do our baptismal vows that Jesus descended to the dead. And he wasn't just there pointing a finger saying, I told you so. We need to shift our image, to heal our image of our God. Jesus told stories and used idioms and hyperbole because it was part of the way Middle Easterns expressed themselves to get attention. Today's gospel message about caring for the needy is so important, so urgent in healing this broken world that Jesus wants us to sit up and take notice. If we don't live lives of compassion, if we don't care about anybody else, and especially the needy, we will burn in anguish mentally, physically, emotionally. We will burn. We've all been there when we've done something that we know we shouldn't have done. When we choose not to love our neighbors, not to get out of our own pity parties and our own self-centeredness, not to ever reach out to someone else, we shrivel up into weeds. Weeds. If we don't take care of ourselves and our loved ones, show them that we care, even when we don't feel like it, maybe especially when we don't feel like it. If we're not finally the one to break the ice and say, I'm sorry, to talk about an old hurt and ask for help if you don't know how to heal it. If we don't do those things, there's something in us that continues to be tormented in hell. And it is a living hell sometimes to live with that agony. And we have work to do in this world. There's a great, wonderful documentary on tonight with reporter Lucy Ling I heard about, called Incarceration Generation, and it takes a look into our prisons and the horrible situations that 1 out of 12 African-American young men will be in prison. We have a culture of throwing people away, locking the door, and don't have to think about them anymore. A wonderful documentary on tonight at 10 o'clock. I would venture to say that this kind of thinking has something to do with our society's skewed view of God as one who would do the same. I'm just saying. I think it could be. It costs more to incarcerate someone than it does to educate them. And we all have work to do in our own unique, gifted ways. We are being called in today's gospel to live lives of compassion for others and to believe the greatest story ever told, that we're forgiven, that we are loved, that we do belong, that we've always belonged to the love of God, and that we can do the right thing out of love, not out of fear. Can we believe in a God that loves us so much that we are drawn to doing right, not because we think we're going to get in trouble, but because we can't help it, because we're loved so much? Could we believe in a God that powerful? I think so. There's a story told of a nanny who didn't speak English, and she was taking care of 2 young children. She was in the other room cleaning up, and the children were playing, and she could hear them fighting, and she thought she heard something break, and she ran in, and she got the English kind of mixed up, and she said, "What are you doing on earth?" instead of, "What on earth are you doing?" It's a profound question. What are you doing on earth? And as the poet Mary Oliver says, what are you doing with your wild and precious life? Tell me, what do you plan to do? Remember Bishop Ames that I talked about with the banner at the conference that I went to? Well, at the end of the conference on the third day, there was a second banner hanging to the right of the first one. And he said that the people that drew it knew the 2 priests in it, and that they still were arguing, maybe about eternal punishment and eternal fire. But in this banner, they had knelt down and they were ministering to the young man who had been injured out of love, ministering to Christ. Let us pray. Merciful Jesus, help us see you in the eyes of everyone with whom we come in contact. Help us both receive your love from others and give that same love freely to all. And in our gratitude, help heal a hurting world. Amen.